Supporters say it helps relieve the symptoms of everything from cancer to epilepsy. Critics say it paves the way for drug abuse. An effort is underway to legalize medical marijuana in Florida. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. A petition drive has been underway, run by a group called United for Care, with the goal of putting the issue before voters. The driving force behind that petition is Orlando trial attorney John Morgan, founder of the law firm Morgan & Morgan, and he joins us now from the studios of WMFE in Orlando. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you very much.
So I want to play some of the ad that the group has been running in support of the initiative.
I want to ask you to help tens of thousands of sick Floridians who desperately need your help. They are suffering with illnesses such as cancer, ALS, AIDS, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, debilitating injuries including paralysis, many terminal. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Pill mills are prescribing dangerous narcotics like candy. People get addicted and many die. Medical marijuana has been proven to give our loved ones relief they need, helping with pain, appetite, seizures, and spasms. Unfortunately, Tallahassee politicians refused to vote on the issue last session. They wouldn't even hear testimony from patients and their families. Therefore, we will take this act of mercy to you, the people. If you're willing to join this army of angels, email me at johnmorgan@forthepeople.com for information on how you can help us get this on the ballot in 2014. We need you. Let's do this for the people, for the really sick people. God bless you all.
All right, John Morgan, why is a trial attorney in Orlando involved in this? What's in it for you?
Well, there's really nothing in it for me. I guess we all have different forms of philanthropy, and I have many different things that I'm involved in that I think about. But I believe that this is an area, what I call political philanthropy, where you see tens of thousands of people suffering for no reason, and you think, well, what could I do to make a difference? And so this is my philanthropy for the next year or so.
Now, you've said that marijuana helped your father while he battled cancer?
Marijuana helped my father, and it helped my brother Tim, who's still alive. My father had esophageal cancer and ultimately COPD. He was debilitated. He was anxious. He had zero appetite. He was nauseated. And he was basically, you know, laying in his bed in fetal position, just wasting away. And he was a guy who was, when we grew up, you know, we didn't go near marijuana or any type of drugs because we didn't want to disappoint our dad. And, you know, ironically, here we are at the end of his life 20 years ago saying, do you want to try this? He did. He had his appetite. His anxiety was gone. A lot of the pain was relieved. And he was able to lead his last days with some dignity and with some peace. So I saw it there, and then I saw it in my brother Tim, who same situation when he had head and neck cancer.
Were they being treated in Florida, and who got the pot, and were they breaking the law?
I don't know who got the pot, but, yeah, they were breaking the law.
Dr. Kevin Sabet is director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida College of Medicine, also former senior advisor to the Obama administration, and he's the author of the book Reefer Sanity, Seven Great Myths About Marijuana, and he joins us now from Anaheim. Dr. Sabet, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So before we get too far, there are two separate issues that often overlap here. There's medical marijuana and then decriminalizing pot for recreational use.
Right.
Reefer Sanity certainly takes aim at recreational use, but what about a more regulated medical use?
Well, actually, the issue with medical marijuana, and I agree partially with John, we know that there are medical properties of marijuana. The issue is we don't have to smoke it to get those properties. So, of course, we know there are medical properties of opium. We don't smoke opium to get the effects of morphine. We have a standardized dose that's been approved by doctors. So I wish Mr. Morgan would have sat down with us here at the places like the Florida Society of Addiction Medicine, the Florida Medical Association, the American Medical Association, all groups that oppose this sort of bill, which is about smoked marijuana as medicine in a totally separate system, creating sort of the equivalent of pill mills for pot mills with these dispensaries, which is what we're going to have. But I wish we had sat down actually and talked about how to do this the right way, because I think everybody has compassion for the story that Mr. Morgan presents. And frankly, I've had my own members of my family suffer from cancer. Nobody wants to see anybody suffering. And the way, the right way to have done this is to, you know, Mr. Morgan frankly could have spent his philanthropy, for lack of a better word, towards research into those medications and towards a program that would get people marijuana derivatives in a non-smoked form today. And that way we could do that in conjunction with the Florida Medical Association, in conjunction with the American Medical Association, not against them, because now this is in the political sphere, and all the major medical associations oppose smoked marijuana as medicine, because these state-based systems really create a totally separate system from the pharmacy.
I want to bring somebody in from one such state, and that is Colorado, which has quite a history with marijuana. Back in 1975, the state made possession of a small amount tantamount to a traffic ticket, and in 2000, voters passed Amendment 20 there, which sort of kickstarted a medical marijuana program there. Last year, voters legalized the recreational use of pots up to a certain amount. And joining us by phone from Colorado is Charlie Brown, who serves on Denver City Council. Welcome.
Good morning.
So you've come a long way with marijuana there. How is that working out for you today?
Well, my concern would be the pattern has been to start with medical marijuana, which I can certainly understand, but it didn't move very quickly to recreational marijuana, and the city and county of Denver, 61% of our voters supported recreational marijuana. And so here we go. We're just beginning to understand the full impact of medical marijuana, and now we got hit with recreational marijuana, and so the stores will open January 1st of next year. And we had to regulate both. That was my committee. On dealing with medical marijuana as well as recreational, and I can tell you it's a real challenge. It's a lot of work. I mean, just dealing with all of these issues associated with medical as well as recreational marijuana takes a lot of time. As we say in the West, it's like trying to pick your teeth with a rattlesnake.
So you're sort of saying that the legalization of recreational use has sort of muddied your observations of the effect of medical marijuana?
Well, we were just getting, frankly, adjusted to it, as you will. The issue had settled down, and now we got this, and we just passed the rules and regulations pertaining, you know, to regulating recreational marijuana, and we've been meeting since January on it. We had a very tight deadline. And let me ask John a question. You said, or actually, Carson, you said that they're circulating a petition. Are you talking about going the initiative route? Will it go into the state constitution as ours did?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say I don't right there. I don't like to muddy our state constitution, but that's the way they went. And the advocates went in Colorado, and apparently that's the way you're choosing to go.
Let me just address two things. Mm-hmm. The reason we've had to go the initiative route is there were bills put before the Florida House and Florida Senate, couldn't even get testimony, couldn't even get one meeting where someone could explain the benefits. And so there was a frustration from, you know, victims who are suffering. To the other issue about, you know, regulation, they wish I'd talked to him sooner. Look, here's the thing. Once this is passed, and it's going to be passed, the Florida House, the Florida Senate, and our governor, who are all very conservative bodies led by Republicans, they're going to regulate this. This is not going to be a deal where I get, you know, the people are going to get to do what they want to do. Before we put this on the ballot, we researched it. We found out, for example, that people in Florida probably would not pass a homegrown version. We found out that people wanted people over 21. So just because this passes does not mean it's going to be a free-for-all. It will be regulated, heavily regulated by the state and licensed by the state, and to do what the state feels can be done, but at least they'll have to deal with it at that time.
Right. Not only regulated, you have to tax it. And you have to
Tax is another.
To pay for the resources, they're going to have to deal with it in terms of.
Yeah, and the issue is, you know, in all these other states, they've said the exact same thing. Of course, nobody says this is going to be a free for all, otherwise, it would never pass. So, you know, the point is, yeah, we want to regulate it. Well, I mean, Charlie can tell us the city of Denver just had the most exhaustive audit done on their medical marijuana program, and I hate to say it. And it wasn't because of lack of trying, because folks like Charlie and others worked very hard on this. But the audit essentially said that that it was not regulated at all, that there was no tracking of the funds, that the records were not only inaccessible, they were incomplete, they were totally inappropriate for this kind of thing. And the issue is, we're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. What other medicine do we say, you know what, you're not going to get it from a pharmacy. You can't go to your doctor. Your doctor can't prescribe it. What we're going to do instead is set up a totally separate, you know, storefront system where we're going to have people, frankly, with no medical experience that can be able to qualify to grow this leafy substance, which you can't even dose correctly because it's the raw part of marijuana. And we're going to have you smoke it, which you don't smoke any other medicine.
You don't have to smoke it. I mean,
eat it. Or my point is in the raw form. Yeah, you could put it in a brownie, but my point is eat it or vaporize it.
Well, look. What we know for a fact is this. Number one, there is a drug out there called OxyContin. It is a poisonous narcotic. Thousands of people are dying every month because of this.
I agree.
Hundreds of thousands are hooked and can never get off. Families are destroyed.
I agree.
Because of this. That's one alternative. I would prefer to be smoking a drug that works that does not have the results that they do. Now, look, for 30 years, the pharmaceutical companies have been trying to perfect Marinol. And that's a pill. I would love for there to be a pill that was non-smoke, that you didn't smoke.
Let me bring it back to this petition. John Morgan, Florida has sort of a legacy of opposing any effort to regulate marijuana dating back to the 70s. The Drug Free America Foundation is based in St. Petersburg. And just recently, in response to the petition drive, Foundation Director Calvina Fay questioned the wisdom of determining medical policy at the ballot box.
And we should take it through the process. We should let the research be done. We should let the whole protocol that's proper for determining medicine to be done through the FDA process, not through the ballot. We've never determined medicine that way.
Okay, John Morgan, isn't that why we have an FDA? Shouldn't something like this be left up to the experts and not to voters?
We've left it up to the experts for the last 30 years, and what we've got is OxyContin. It's a separate drug that's being used for pain, and listen, I don't know why it works. I don't know why water quenches
thirst. Well, we know
thirst.
Why marijuana works. There are properties that make it work, but let's deliver it the right way.
You're smarter than me, so I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm a political scientist major. I'm not as smart as you. I don't know why it works. I don't know why water works. I don't know why aloe works. I don't know why God put this plant in this planet for us to work, but it does work. If you're thirsty, you don't drink tequila. You drink water. If you're hurting, I say you use this plant that's put into nature, by nature, for us. It works. It works like water works with thirst. And so what are we going to do, wait another 30 years for FDA approval when it's sitting out there in your backyard? Not for me.
Professor Sabet, does the FDA even consider marijuana a drug?
Actually, the FDA does. The FDA and every major medical association has said smoked or eaten raw marijuana is not medicine. However, like I said, there are derivatives of marijuana. So, John, we actually know why it works. There are derivatives like THC, CBD, which actually does not get you high at all. And actually, unfortunately, you can't even find CBD in smoked marijuana today on the street because it doesn't get you high. Why would people want to use it? However, CBD has been shown in FDA-approved and NIDA studies to be very good for example, anti-seizure with multiple sclerosis. So let's get CBD in a standardized form that's available at the pharmacy. Let's get that into an approved form. By the way, we already have a THC pill called Marinol, John talked about. But there are things other than Marinol.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work for some people, but let's then get...
I'm not going to wait for the pharmaceutical companies to figure out something in 30 years so they can make billions of dollars.
It's already figured out. We could work to get it to the American people if we work together.
But it's not.
It's
not.
Councilman Brown.
The problem is waiting on probably the most dysfunctional city in America called Washington, D.C. is a joke. Let me tell you what we have here. Because we have medical as well as recreational marijuana, the federal government would not allow these businesses, and they are businesses, whether you like it or not, to have a banking relationship. So every time you go into a marijuana dispensary, you have to use cash. The owners of these businesses have to pay their employees in cash. They have to pay their utility bills in cash.
Sure.
We had an example a month ago when someone went to and paid their utility bill $45,000 in cash. It's a joke that the federal government would not allow these businesses to operate like a normal business. So if you guys are going to do this, you better keep an eye on that.
This is Florida Matters, and we're talking about the effort to legalize medical marijuana in Florida. You can weigh in on our Facebook page or stop by our website, WUSFnews.org. We're talking about the effort to legalize medical marijuana in Florida. Dr. Kevin Sabet is director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida College of Medicine. Orlando trial attorney John Morgan, founder of Morgan & Morgan, is a major backer of that petition to put medical marijuana on the ballot. And from Colorado, Charlie Brown serves on the Denver City Council. Councilman Brown, why did Colorado push ahead with this under that backdrop of the federal government still outlawing it?
I mean, they don't have to make the rules and regulations like we do and see this up close.
That's right.
Their whole theme was to regulate it like alcohol. And then you had Obama on the ballot. You had libertarians, which we have a lot of here in the West. You know, have a lot of young Obama voters, libertarians, and it just came together. And they also saw that the drug policy has been a failure at the federal level.
Well, they also probably knew, and the doctor can back us up on this, one person in America will die every 19 seconds from alcohol abuse. Not one will die today from marijuana use.
Saying that nobody dies from marijuana is like saying nobody dies from cigarettes. It's totally devoid of the truth. The point is, yeah, you can't overdose on marijuana in one sitting, just like you can't overdose on cigarettes where you can on alcohol. You might not overdose on it, but your IQ is going to be reduced, the studies have shown. Your learning capacity, your driving is going to be impaired double when you're intoxicated on marijuana. So
we're
again,
talking about medical marijuana. We're talking. Listen,
well,
nobody cares about their IQ when they're laying there as a head on a pillow with ALS or multiple sclerosis. Nobody cares about what if their IQ is going to go from 130 to 120 at the last stages of their life, for God's sake.
John Morgan, let me bring this up because we have introduced politics into this. It certainly is a political issue. Now, a number of political observers here in Florida have accused you of having another motive for getting this on the ballot next year. This would be the same ballot on which one of your employees, Charlie Crist, might appear as a candidate for governor. And many of those voters who would likely be in favor of the marijuana amendment might also favor a Democrat on the ballot. Now, can you blame some folks for sort of putting all this together and accusing you of having an ulterior motive?
Yeah, because, listen, one thing we know about chronic illness and terminal illnesses, they don't pick parties. They don't pick Democrats or Republicans or independents. And when you are at that stage, at that last stage in death, you're not thinking about politics. So it is totally, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with what I've seen up close and personal. I know it works. I know tens of thousands of people today would benefit, millions tomorrow. And so, you know, my friends in politics tell me that they don't think it would have much difference at all. So, I mean, I know it's something fun to talk about, and I guess Charlie might be running, but it has nothing to do with his.
You're not
going to
break any news here for us right now.
There's nobody left.
Back in 2008, then Governor Charlie Crist signed into law House Bill 173, which gave Florida some of the toughest marijuana laws in the nation. Now he has come out in favor of legalizing medical marijuana, and I guess you have to see why some would call that a pure political flip-flop.
Well, if you want to do something, and if this Dr. Sabat wants to do something interesting, I suggest you watch Sanjay Gupta's special on CNN, the one-hour special called Weed.
Yeah, Professor Sabat, Charlie Crist is not the only one who has changed his mind on that. Sanjay Gupta.
It happened.
Sanjay Gupta wrote a full article in Time magazine, and 2 years later, he's changed his mind.
Let's be very clear. He did not change his mind in that way on marijuana. He realizes that the components in marijuana that are non-smoked and non-psychoactive, like CBD, which is what the little girl on the special, of course, that we all saw, benefited from. CBD in a non-smoked form is not what we're talking about here. It's the components of marijuana. It's not the raw smoke cigarette. The components, frankly, that are non-psychoactive, that have nothing to do with what people are using in these medical marijuana states, are actually who benefited.
And sounds like the guy in Colorado smoking some marijuana himself out there. It keeps coughing.
Well, and on the other point about someone who's lying in bed with ALS with 20 weeks to live, I would want them to get anything, including injectable heroin, if it made them feel better.
Then sign my ballot.
So if we wanted to do this right, we would do what the AMA says, which is get the components in a non-smoking form.
Councilman Brown in Denver, is that the case? Are folks abusing the medical marijuana laws? And what would you advise Floridians on this issue?
Well, you have to regulate, and it certainly has been abused. By the way, there was not only a scathing audit against our regulation in terms of the city and county of Denver, there was even one worse at the state level.
Yep.
So you got to be prepared for this.
Why did Denver City Council pass a law that sets
the rules? And that's key also. I don't know how your initiative is written, but we have what we call local option, that counties, if 63 counties, and they can make up, in municipality, they can make up their own mind. Do they want to opt in or opt out?
Why does Denver allow medical marijuana to be sold at the same location as recreational marijuana? Doesn't that really blur the line between medicinal use and recreational?
First of all, because it limits the number of stores, a lot of our citizens don't want a proliferation of stores. We already have more than 200 here in the city and county of Denver. We have more medical marijuana dispensaries than we do Starbucks.
Yeah,
and people don't like that. One thing. They love it until it comes to their neighborhood.
That's right.
And then we get the calls and the complaints. But it has to be carefully regulated.
So you've already pointed out that the federal government does not allow, medical dispensaries are cash only. They're not allowed to set up commercial bank accounts. Does that keep you from sort of getting an idea of what the impact is on the state of Colorado as far as the economics of it?
And that's a good point. It brought in more than $3 million in city and county of Denver in 2012, but what did it really bring in? We don't know because of the absurdity of only having a cash business.
A couple of weeks ago the 60-minute special on the economic benefit to Colorado and especially Denver, it saved the city, saved commercial real estate. It employed jobs. It got a tax base and took the money out of criminals' hands and made sure that it was not laced with all sorts of additives that could be harmful. So the people in Colorado are very, very happy with what's happened, and so are the politicians.
Is that a good reason, though, to make a medical decision based on its effect on a state's economy?
No.
Not at all. Absolutely not. I agree with that. But also, I voted against 20 and I voted against 64. That's medical marijuana as well as recreational. Medical marijuana, I began to change because people started telling me the stories that you have mentioned, John, about having a family member that marijuana really helped. And I began to say, hey, who am I as an elected official? Who am I to say that if they believe that drug is going to help them, then let them have at it. Let them use it.
Right.
Isn't
that very different than let somebody who's sick and dying that we all have a compassion for? Isn't that very different than the reality in Colorado and in states that have this, where 95% of them are 35-year-old white males with a history of drug abuse and no history of chronic illness? Would begrudge that person.
Let me answer that question. A permission from a doctor, and you know what we had? It was embarrassing. We have doctors flying out here from California, setting up an office in a motel,
exactly,
to write them a prescription.
Right.
See, these are the kind of things that you've got to, in your rules and regulations, you've got to control.
The great thing about all that's gone on in America is that the Florida legislature and our governor here will get to see all the things that were done wrong in other states and regulate it in the right way. We don't. Our petition does not have psychologists, for example, able to give out a prescription. Has to be a medical doctor. The caregiver has to be over 21 years of age. The regulation comes later through the state of Florida.
But what if we rewrote the initiative so that it would only allow those kinds of folks with those very specific illnesses where their bona fide doctor said, not the rent a doctor, the bona fide doctor said this is the only thing that works, and it was done in a hospital setting in a non-smoked way, not a joint sold at the strip mall, but in a non-smoked way in a hospital setting, would you be in favor of that instead of what you have on the ballot right now, what you hope to have on the ballot?
If you read what I have on the ballot, I enumerate the types of illnesses that I'm talking about, but I'm not going to sit back and be a pawn for hospitals and pharmaceutical
companies. Nobody wants to be a pawn for anybody. We don't want you to be a pawn for drug dealers.
I don't need a prescription to go out in my backyard and get an aloe plant and rub it on my sunburn and get relief, and I darn sure don't think I need to have Merck or Bayer tell me that what I need to do when the plant's sitting right outside my backyard to get well and help my family. So I'm not going to sit around and have studies. We've had studies for 30 years.
If the initiative passes, makes it to the ballot, passes at 60% threshold, John Morgan, then what? How do you envision that law taking effect, and will you be calling Charlie Brown in Denver for advice?
I don't think I'm going to call Charlie Brown for anything, but I like him, but I think he's on a different wavelength than me.
I don't know how you can say that, John.
You said you voted against
both sides. I've seen.
Oh, I thought you said you voted against. I thought you said you voted against both initiatives. But
yeah, I did. That's all right. But the voters.
That's the other side.
I got to regulate it.
Final word, Dr. Kevin Sabat.
Well, if it does pass, it will pass because people think they're voting for folks who are at the end stage of their life, not for the average user who actually is going to be using it. But if it does pass, we're going to make sure that it really is those folks that John Morgan just stated on the air he's concerned with, not the 99% of people who are going to try.
And Denver City Councilman Charlie Brown.
Well, just be prepared to regulate it, to tax it, so that you have enough money to deal with it, because it will. It's going to generate some real challenges that the state has never had. And the old Boy Scouts, be prepared.
All right. From Colorado, Charlie Brown, Denver City Council. Kevin Sabat, director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida College of Medicine, author of Reefer Sanity, Seven Great Myths About Marijuana, and Orlando trial attorney John Morgan, founder of the law firm Morgan & Morgan, and a major backer of a petition to put medical marijuana on the ballot next year. A very lively discussion. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Carson.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show, but the discussion continues online. Do you think medical marijuana is a good idea or a bad idea in Florida? Weigh in on our Facebook page. The link is at WUSFnews.org. Our show is produced by Lottie Watts of Health News Florida and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Kirsten Cooper. Thanks for listening.